If you would, turn in your New Testaments to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. In just a moment, we'll be reading some of the verses that are found there, penned by Paul to the saints of the church at Corinth. We're thankful for the presence of all. We have some who are visiting with us, and we are indeed grateful that you have seen fit this evening to be with us. It is our desire, I know that it is mine, and it is every member here, to do only those things that are according to the will of God. It's my desire to speak only the things that are found in His Word. And if you discover this evening something that I've said that is amiss, something that is out of place with the Word of God, then please point these things out to me. For once again, I have a desire to speak only the truth, as we all have a great burden that is placed on us, not to add anything to the Word of God nor take anything away from that. And so we want to follow just what is written. We want to talk this evening about a subject that I guess we're all familiar with, and that subject is when something happens to us, something maybe every day or something unusual, are we being tested or are we being tempted? We want to talk about that this evening. We want to discover maybe, you know, it's just the same coin, just two different sides to that, or how we react to certain things, whether it's a temptation or whether it is a test. I heard a man make a statement a long time ago about being tempted, and he said it lightheartedly, of course. He says, "I can resist anything but temptation." And that's the way a lot of people are, that all you have to do is mention something to them or test them or tempt them in some way, and they're going to yield to it. Of course, again, he was saying that in a lighthearted way. But that is an approach that a lot of people have, that they can resist anything but temptation. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and verse 13, though, we find that we don't have to yield to temptation. There is a way of escape that is provided for us by God. In those first few verses, and we're going to read some of them in a few moments, Paul is telling the saints there at Corinth concerning the Israelites and what happened to them, and that they are an example for them as well as for us concerning being tempted or being tested. And he says there in 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And this is a very comforting thought, knowing that when we are tempted to do that which is wrong, or tested in some way or another, that there's a way of escape that is provided for us by God. All we have to do is make that choice, and we are going to take that way of escape. This was something, as he says here, that the Israelites failed to do on several occasions. And beginning in verse 5, we find something that he says concerning them. He says there, beginning in 5, but with most of them, God was not well pleased. Again, the Israelites, and in specific, he's talking about the time that they were in the wilderness. They came out of Egypt, and they were going to the promised land. He says they were not well pleased with some of them. God wasn't. For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Here they were, their examples for us. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Then he speaks on another occasion in verse 8. Nor let us not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor murmur, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Here's several examples here. He's pointing out the children of Israel, just in the time that they were in the wilderness there, of how they tested God, of how they did those things that were wrong, and they yielded to the temptations that came upon them. They are our example, he says, teaching us that we should not weaken ourselves or not succumb to the temptation. Because he says in verse 11, once again, now all these things happened to them as an example. And they were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the ages have come. And he says there that it could happen to us, that there is a danger that you and I also can yield to temptation. And he says in verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. There's a warning here. And he wants this warning to come across real strong to them, that just as the children of Israel, God's children of old, fell, they were tempted, they were tested, and they did not overcome the temptation, that it can happen to you. So take heed. Just because you think you're the child of God, just because you think you're taking a stand and being strong, you can still be overcome by temptation. And then he says there in 13, as we mentioned a few moments ago, that we have a way of escape given unto us. That God is not going to put us, or we're not going to be able to put ourselves in a situation where we are going to have to sin. That there's no other way out of it. But he will provide for us a way of escape. But just what is being tempted or being tested? Simply what it means to be is just to be tried. That's all the word temptation means, or being tempted, is you're being tried, you're being tested. You're being put to a test and to see if what you're made of, to prove who and what you are. That's basically what it means. And the word temptation does not always come across to us in a bad sense, although we might think of it in that way. In some instances, as we're going to see, that particular word is used in a good way. And it's used in the way that we're talking about, that of being tested. There are two ways that each of us is going to be tempted or going to be tested. And one of those senses is that we are tried. We have been put, or we're going to be put to a test. And you know, this is what God did to Abraham, wasn't it? We turn back to Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. And it makes a statement there, and I was reading from the King James as well as the New King James. The word tested is used in the New King James, but I believe in the King James it's the word tempted. That God tempted, or God tested Abraham when he told him, now you take your son Isaac and you go and you offer him up as a sacrifice. There was a test that was being put to Abraham. His faith was being proven to see just how strong that faith that he had was. There is a certain also joy that is connected with temptation or testing. James made that statement in James chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4, where he begins and he talks about temptation, he talks about the test that we'll go through. He says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials or various temptations, knowing that the testing, and that's what he's talking about, the testing of your faith produces patience. He says, count it all joy when that happens to you, when you're put to the test, when there are trials or the certain things that come on you to test, to prove you. He says, count it all joy, because in that testing, when you overcome the temptations, when you prove yourself to be faithful unto God, then that produces patience in your life. It makes you stronger. It makes you more faithful in the sight of God. This type of testing then brings a perfecting about us. It brings a steadfastness in our life. And in that way it serves a very, very good purpose, because we're made stronger as a result of those trials, those tests, and those temptations. So that word, as is used in the Bible, is used in that sense. And it's not a bad way at all. But the way that it is used in the other sense is the one that we're more familiar with. And that simply means that someone is tempting us, or something is tempting or inducing or enticing us to do something that is wrong. And that's the way that we think of it most of the time. When we are tempted, we are induced, we are lured to do something that is evil, something that is against the commandments of God. This is an allurement then to do that which is wrong. We might be tempted to lie. Because of a situation, things that happen, and we don't want to be caught because we know we've done something that we shouldn't do, we're tempted to lie. We're tempted to do something that is evil. We might be tempted to cheat. We might be tempted to steal, or one thing or then the other. Excuse me. And this is the way that we think concerning that particular word, that word temptation. But as we can see, this temptation can be kind of a two-edged thing. It can be something that will prove, a test to prove us, to prove our faithfulness, to prove our devotion unto God. Or it may be an allurement to do that which is wrong. And it may be exactly the same thing. And yet, in one sense, it's a test to prove us. And in another sense, it is an allurement to cause us to do those things that are wrong. there are two beliefs concerning temptation and testing. One of those things is that it comes from God. And I dare say there's a lot of people in this world who believe that. That when they are tempted, they're tempted of God. That if God doesn't send this temptation, at least he allows you to be tempted in this way, to be tested in this way. And therefore, ultimately, they say, well, it's really God's fault. That it comes from him. Adam and Eve wanted to blame God really for what happened to them. If you remember the story there in the garden of how Adam was and Eve were tempted to do that which is wrong. And you know what Adam said? Adam wanted to point to his wife and say, well, it's this woman that you have given me. And the woman then turned to the serpent and said, well, you know, it's the serpent that God you have created. Basically, they wanted to put the blame on somebody else, not take it for themselves. And eventually, it got back to God. And I dare say that when we sin, when we are overcome in temptation and do those things that are wrong, we might, if we are such a man, trace our sin back to God. Maybe back to the providence of God. And say, well, God, if you hadn't allowed me to get in this particular situation I'm in right now, I wouldn't have been tempted. I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have yielded to this temptation. I wouldn't have been that weak. And a lot of people then want to say, hey, it's your fault, God. You're the one who did it. Everybody, it seems, or a lot of people want to blame God. That it comes from him. But we know what the Bible has to say. In James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, James points out here by inspiration that temptation comes from within a person. It comes from within us. He says there in James 1, verses 12 through 15, blessed is the man who endures temptation. What's that mean? He overcomes this. Blessed is he. For when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who loved him. Let no man say, and it can't be any plainer than this, can it? Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. Let's not say that. Let's not point the finger of blame at God and say, you're the one that caused this. You're the one that allowed this. We're not tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it brings death, brings birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So he's saying here, it comes from within us. We have desires, we have those passions within us, and he says that's where it arises. We're enticed by things. And then when we give in to those things, it leads to sin, and sin finally to death. To some, there seems to be a contradiction here. That God tests, but God doesn't tempt. God, as we know, said, as we read there, he says to Abraham that he was tested. It says here, though, that God does not tempt. And some people, again, as we said, if God doesn't tempt them, at least he allows them to be tempted. And they say, well, there's really no difference between those two things in the end. But I believe it's according to the intent. It's according to what is trying to be done in the temptation. For example, and we have several illustrations that we want to point out. For example, God has placed man on this earth. And he has put him in a position of trust in certain things. We have the creation that is around about us that God has said we are to take care of. We are to be good stewards. But man is a free moral agent, and he may choose to do what he pleases. He may choose to please God, or he may choose not to please God. But God trusts man with certain things because he's created him and because he has placed him here. He has trust man with the creation. All that we see about us, God told man in the very beginning to subdue it. But we are to be good stewards. We are to take care of these physical possessions that God has given to us. He has entrusted these things to us. God also has entrusted in man the passions and the desires that we have. Certainly he has created us this way. And all those passions and desires we have, God's given to us. And it says there in the beginning, when all that God created, it was good. And so man was good as he was created by God. And if man properly uses these desires that God has given to him, then they're going to be helpful to man. We also have been entrusted by God with this word, the word of truth, the word of life. He has given it to us so we might know his will, his mind, and what's going to please him. He has given it to us. He's entrusted it unto us. But also, God did not give us these things so that we might pervert them. Now again, we have that choice. We can do with these things as we please because we're free moral agents. God didn't give us the creation to pervert it. He didn't give it to us so that we might abuse it, that we might use it unlawfully, or that we might fight over it, the physical land that is here. He didn't give it to us. He didn't trust us so that we could do that. We're tempted to do that. We're put to the test many times in connection with that. But he did not give it to us in that way to tempt us to do those things that are wrong. He has given us our appetites, as we said, but not to abuse them, not to use them in excess, not to use them unlawfully, but in the right way. But we may choose. We may be tempted to do that. God doesn't want us to, but because he's entrusted us with these things, and because we're free moral agents, we might do just that. He's given us his word, as we said, not to pervert it, but to know his will and to know his mind and to be pleasing unto him. Now, in entrusting us with all of these things, God is not tempting us to do evil. He's just entrusted these things unto us so that we might live here on this earth, so that we might know what he would have us to do and be pleasing in him and prepare ourselves for a home in heaven with him when this life is over. That again, according to his word. God does not tempt us to do wrong just because he's entrusted us with these things. Another example is that perhaps of the employee-employee relationship. And we're all fit into that situation from time to time in our life. That maybe the person that's over us, our boss, has asked us to do something. Now, most bosses, unless they're a little bit perverted or twisted themselves, are not going to give you an assignment hoping you're going to mess up, hoping you're going to do something that is wrong, tempting you in such a way that you're going to do something that is wrong. They're entrusting you with certain duties, and they hope that you carry those duties out. They're maybe in some sense are testing you, putting you to a test, proving if you are worthy of these things that they have assigned unto you. But once again, they're not testing you in the sense that, well, I hope he or she messes up so that I can fire them. That's generally not the way that it's going to be. An engineer will test a bridge. For what reason? Not hoping that it is going to fall, but he tests it hoping that it is going to stand. Now, he'll test it in every way that he can. But he's not testing it hoping against hope. You know, I just hope this thing falls in. He's not going to spend time and years constructing it and then hoping that it is going to collapse. Man is tested many times in the same way. An invading army puts a city to a test. And what are they hoping? They're hoping it will fail. They're hoping it'll fall and they can invade the city and they can take over it and it will be theirs. And sometimes we are tested in this way also. So we can use testing or temptation many times to our own destruction, or it can be to our own edification. Satan tempts us in very much the same way. He will make his strongest assaults on our weakest areas. He'll know where we're weak. He'll know when we're weak. And he will put us to the test, hoping that we are going to fail. So in a sense, every temptation or every testing that comes our way really is a choice for us. It can be a pitfall for sin, or it can be a path to success and greater strength and greater devotion to the cause of Jesus Christ our Lord. We understand very easily the dangers that are found in temptation. Temptation causes people to sin. And that's one of the things that's wrong, the thing that's wrong with it. When people yield to temptation, as we read in James 1, it causes them to sin. These lusts, these desires that are aroused within us lead to the yielding of that temptation, which is sin. And that sin then goes on to spiritual death. Temptation is very much like the first step in a long journey. You can't reach spiritual death if you do not yield to temptation. If you're never tempted, you'll never sin. If you never sin, it's never going to cause you to be separated from God. So we see the dangers in temptation because it's something that's going to lead us to sin. And every time, sin and spiritual death, if we were to trace it, can be traced right back to the temptation that we yielded to. There are certain things that make temptation more dangerous. Sometimes we might be physically sick. It might be that we are weak physically or mentally or emotionally. Something has happened and we're drained and we're weakened. And at that time, we might be even weaker. We might be more prone to give in and to yield to temptation and be overcome by that. In Romans 15, verses 1 and 2, we find Paul writing to the saints at Rome. And we find that sometimes we as individuals might need special consideration because of the way the things that we're in. He says, "We then who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak and weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification." There are those times when we're going to need special help. And Satan's going to know when we are weak. And he's going to know what's going to appeal to us most. So he will tempt us in that way. The deceitfulness of sin also makes temptation dangerous. Ephesians 6 and verse 11, we are instructed there to put on the whole armor of God. And we are to put that on so that we can stand against the wiles of Satan, against the temptations that he throws at us. And sometimes, because of the deceitfulness of sin, we're overcome by these temptations. And sin may not appear to be very sinful. You know, that's the way many of our advertisers, as we have noted in the advertising world, how they make certain products. They make them sound very appealing and not sinful at all. In beer and wine and liquor advertisements, we find they don't show the end product of what happens to an individual after they have yielded to that temptation. But they'll show it as being almost glamorous. They'll show it as being almost harmless and even respectable. Go see, everybody else is doing it. And therefore, it makes it right, and you ought to engage in it also. We need to take temptation as it really is, that it is the first step toward sin and death, and we should not take it lightly. One thing also we notice concerning this, and that is, it is something that is certain. We're going to be tested. We're going to be put to the test to see if our faith is real, if it is genuine, and Satan is going to tempt us, hoping that it is not. Every person is tempted. Once again, James 1 and verse 12, "Blessed is every man who endures temptation." We're all going to be tempted. We're going to be put to the test. Because we all have passions, we're going to be tempted in respect to those passions. You know, even Jesus was tempted. We cannot hide from it. If Christ could not, then certainly we cannot either. Solitude is not going to be the thing that is going to cause us to escape temptation. Because once again, if we even get off to ourselves and live by ourselves for the remainder of our life, however many years that might be, that does not assure that we're not going to be tempted. Because where does temptation come from? It comes from within the person. That's what James says. Even our environment sometimes brings temptation. We cannot find a place where it does not exist. We can't escape it. It is something that is certain. And as we said a while ago, as we consider the sources, we realize that it does not come from God. It comes from Satan. Temptation does. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, it makes a statement there concerning the temptations that Christ had to endure. And as he was in the wilderness, he was there to be tempted of the devil. The devil was the one who tested him, who tried him. He affects this, as we note, as we've discussed there in James, from within the individual, from those desires. In Genesis chapter 3, and also in 1 John chapter 2, we know that it comes from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those are the three avenues that Satan has at us to cause us to do those things that are wrong. It also comes from without. You know, as I said, we cannot get away to a place that there is no temptation. But sometimes we can get away from those people that would tempt us to do those things that are wrong because they do come from without. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33 says, evil companions corrupt good morals. That comes from without. They tempt us to do those things that are wrong. Finally, we want to look at, in this lesson, some of those ways that we can overcome this temptation, that we can endure this test, and we can be proven to be faithful in the sight of God. As we read there in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, God's going to provide us a way of escape. All we've got to do is take it. Again, we have the right of choice. We can do whatever we want to do. God's going to provide us a way of escape. We've just got to take it. And that way of escape may come in several forms. For example, it may come in the fact that we need to be prepared for it. You know, a lot of people are overcome by temptation. And the reason they're overcome by it is because they're not ready for it. It came at them unawares. We need to be prepared. It's certain. And it may come from different people in our life, from different things in our life that we would not suspect. But we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared with a thus saith the Lord. Because, you know, this is the way Jesus did it. When he was tempted by Satan, what did he do? He quoted Scripture. He says, the Bible says this, or the Word of God says this. And if we can do that and be that prepared, we can overcome temptation. We can find that way of escape, maybe in some of the things in which we are tested. We can overcome it also by being watchful and praying. And this is something that, instruction that Christ gave his disciples, there in the garden shortly before he was to be arrested and led away to his death. In Matthew 26 and verse 41, he makes this statement to them, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Be watchful. Pray. Because you're going to be led into temptation if you don't do that. Be watchful and be prayerful. Be on your guard, so that you'll be able to overcome it. That might be the way that God has given unto you to escape the temptation that you face. We can also have a strong determination that we're not going to yield. Whatever comes our way, we're not going to yield to it. We're going to do what God says. Paul made the statement in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. He says, I buffet my body, I bring it into subjection, lest after I have taught others, I myself might be a castaway. He says, he's being prepared here. He has a resolution in mind that I'm not going to yield to temptation. I'm not going to do that. I am going to teach, and I'm going to be on my guard. That might be the way. That is the way of escape for us when we face doing that which is wrong. We also may have to just simply run from it. Run from temptation. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 14, in other places, it talks about fleeing idolatry. Paul told that to Timothy. Timothy was to pass that on to others. Flee idolatry. Get away from it. That might be, and flee adultery, that might be the best way. And that might be the way of escape that God has provided for you. It may not be what the thing that everybody else in the world would do, but maybe what God wants you to escape temptation. And then finally, a way of overcoming it. And it may be the last resort. And that is, we're just going to have to stand and fight. We're going to have to take a stand and not yield to temptation. There comes a time when there is no other way but just simply fight against it. And that's why we have been given the armor of God. That's why we put it on, so that we can withstand Satan and all of those things that he would hurl at us. These are ways that we have of escaping the temptations that we face every day. Temptation is like anything else. I believe it's according to how you use it. You can use it to your destruction, or you can use it to your edification and your building up. If you yield to temptation, then sin is going to be the result. And the result then of sin is that of spiritual death or separation from God. But if you face temptation and you're tested, and your faith is tested, and you are victorious and you overcome it, then as Paul said to the saints there at Corinth, we have a crown of life that is promised to us. A crown of life, James is talking about this. That crown of life that is prepared, and those that are blessed and overcoming the temptations that they face. So we can use it to our destruction, or we can use it to our edification, to our strengthening. It's just according to the choice that we make. What is it going to be? When we're tested, will we yield or will we overcome? If you're here this evening and not a child of God, there are those things that God wants you to do. He has instructed us and all of mankind through the inspired writers of the New Testament that those who want to be in Jesus Christ must obey certain commands. We must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, have that faith in Him, that He is the one that is the Redeemer of the world, of all of mankind. That we repent of our sins, turn from that which is wrong, for certainly we cannot continue in sin and strive to be a child of God. We have to repent and turn from that. And that we must confess our faith in Jesus Christ, that He is God's Son, that He is the one that is the Savior of the world, and that we be baptized for the remission of our sins. That puts us in the family of God. Those are the commandments that have been given. None of those can be left out. Nothing can be added to it. If anything is left out, it's not by the authority of God. If anything is added to, then it is not by the authority of God. This is simply what He wants you, each and every one of us, to do, to be His child. If as a child of God, you've sinned in some way, you've reproached the name of Christ by your actions, and you need to seek the forgiveness of God and the help of the saints here, then you have that opportunity also. The song's been selected. What is your answer going to be? You're being tempted by Satan right now if you're in any of those situations. He would say, resist. Don't yield to what God says. What choice are you going to make? The song's been selected. What will be your decision? You'll make it before the song is over. We hope that you make the right one. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?